genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
We're turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of that sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before I get to today's theme, I have an announcement and a shout-out for you. First of all, if you tuned in, you were hoping to hear the Freeman Michaels Show at 9 o'clock today. Freeman Michaels Show is on holiday hiatus. You can go to the Freeman Michaels Show Facebook page for updates on when he will return in 2011. Also, I've got a shout-out to Roz. Roz, you were my dinner partner at a charity function that we both attended this week. You were delightful. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner. Now, back to the show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the home front. All of my guests will be discussing subjects about near or about the home. My first guest is an expert on kitchen design. Did you know that the changes that you make to your kitchen can increase your home's value by a multiple of what you invest? Learn what changes to the kitchen are the most important. My second guest says, tell your power company goodbye. See you, Southern California Edison. He'll teach us how to live off the power grid because he's been living off the power grid for more than 14 years. My third guest is an expert on individual retirement accounts. He'll explain how to use your IRA to maximize your profits. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Don Silvers is a certified chef and a member of the American Culinary Federation. He taught cooking in the 1970s and now teaches residential kitchen design at UCLA. Don is the author of Kitchen Design with Cooking in Mind. The book explains exactly how to remodel and customize your kitchen and the best appliances to purchase. Welcome to the show, Don. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you for the lovely introduction.
Well, thank you for being our guest today here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. You know, it's interesting because of the recession, fewer and fewer people are buying and selling houses. More and more people are staying in their existing homes. And it's important because the kitchen, by far and away, is the heart of the home, no question about it. But I want to start, let's start at the beginning. You're an expert on kitchen design, and I admire you for that. But isn't that sort of like being the deck chair arranger on the Titanic? I mean, fewer and fewer people are cooking at home these days. So why are we placing so much emphasis on the kitchen?
Well, first of all, that's a myth that you've just stated. Fewer and fewer people are cooking at home. In fact, it's quite the reverse.
It is, huh?
It is the reverse, that more and more people are cooking at home. Or, I think it was Time Magazine's article that said they're cooking at 2 to 4 times a week. And the rest of the time, they're going to different restaurants or different stores for takeout. But they are cooking, and they want kitchens that actually work instead of look pretty. And that's one of the problems we have is, gee, isn't it a beautiful kitchen? Too bad it doesn't work.
So you're all about the functional kitchen is really
I'm
what
it's all about making the kitchen beautiful and having it cook beautiful.
Ah, so the two don't have to be mutually exclusive, do they,
Don? Not at all. That is a matter of fact, the role of the kitchen designer, how to make the space beautiful, and how to make it work beautifully. And it's those two components that you then marry together.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Now, in my house, and I'm sure it's true of other houses as well, the kitchen is sort of the heart of the home. We all congregate around the kitchen, and for years and years and years, my wife has led me to believe that really the design of a kitchen needs to be in a triangle, and the triangle is built around three appliances, the refrigerator, the stove, and the sink. Is that triangle configuration the optimum design for a kitchen?
It is the optimum design to make the kitchen not work, yes.
Oh, so it's absolutely the 100% the wrong design is what
absolutely.
You're saying. Well, why is that?
Okay. The triangle was born in the late 40s, early 50s out of the University of Illinois, where they were in the students created an environment, a home for the returning GI.
Mm-hmm.
And that home was 1,000 square feet, a dining room that sat four, a kitchen that was about 60 square feet. Well, now, if you think about this, a kitchen with 60 square feet, there's not much else you can do. And in those days, you only had three appliances. You had the refrigerator, you had the stove, and you had the sink. That was it. There were no microwaves. There were no steam ovens. There were no separate ovens with a cooktop. There were no choices of cooktops. Refrigerators came one size. Now you can buy a refrigerator 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet. You can buy a stove 3 feet, 4 feet, or 2.5 feet to 6 feet. You can buy separate ovens. Well, now how does that triangle work if I want to put in a cooktop, separate ovens, a refrigerator, a microwave, a steam oven? Where's the triangle?
Yeah, I can see that. I see what you're saying.
The second thing is that in real kitchen design, making it work, is that you really need to separate the two work areas. In other words, cleanup should be totally separated out of the cooking and prep area. Well, that means you really need two sinks separate from each other, one dealing with all the prepping and one dealing with all the cleanup. The moment you do that, by the way, you double the size of the kitchen without breaking down a wall. And when you do that, instead of having only one person being able to work in the kitchen comfortably, all of a sudden you open it up. If it's done right, my kitchen, for an example, is 12.5 in depth by 16th in length, and I can get 8 to 9 people to work in that kitchen comfortably.
8 to 9 people work in your kitchen. We're talking to Don Silvers, everybody. He's the author of the book, Kitchen Design with Cooking in Mind. Well, Don, let me ask you, what are the downsides or what are the negatives of a poorly designed kitchen?
Well, the negatives are that you immediately wish to go to the first fast food house and eat there instead of cooking. It's hard. It's poor design makes you work 3 times harder than necessary. And if you have to work 3 or 4 times harder than necessary, you don't want to be in the environment. And that's what's happening throughout this entire country and why people run out to the nearest takeout food place and so forth. Because they can't put up with it. Spatially, the whole space works against you rather than for you.
All right. Are there any other downsides to it? I mean, there are safety issues to be worried about. Are there any? What about energy efficiency in a kitchen today? We have so many appliances. Energy efficiency has got to be a consideration too, doesn't it?
Well, but then you get into something that really is a gray area. For an example, you take a pro-like cooktop, and they say that's not energy efficient. But in fact, it's far more energy efficient than what they call energy efficient stoves, which are 30 inches wide, and they have a burner that, let's say, puts out 6,000, 7,000 BTUs, and that's why it's called energy efficient. But it takes 3 or 4 times longer to cook something than on what we call the pro cooktops that have 20,000 BTUs. I can do something there in 4 minutes or 5 minutes, where it takes me 20 or 25 minutes to do it on a so-called energy efficient. So that's why I call this a gray area. People are looking at one thing rather than looking at the total of what's taking place.
All right, and that's where you come in. We're talking to Don Silvers, everybody. Don, one of the things that my wife is always after me about are the kitchen cabinets. I mean, she's really important about the kitchen cabinets, how they work, how they function, and so forth, mainly along the looks. But how important are kitchen cabinets vis-a-vis the other components in the kitchen, the cooktop, the refrigerator, et cetera?
Well, it is the appliances that drive the design. It is the cabinetry that support the appliances put in. But I could do a kitchen entirely without a cabinet.
Wait a minute. Without a cabinet?
Without a cabinet.
No storage?
Absolutely.
How would you do that?
Right. But I cannot do without a sink. I cannot do without some kind of a burner, whether it's gas, electric, or induction. I cannot deal with, as long as I have shelving with a countertop on the shelving, it doesn't have to be made out of wood. I can do it out of stainless steel. I can use metro shelving. There's a variety of ways. Now, will it look as pretty? Not at all. So what cabinets do is two things. It's the interior of the cabinet that you really want to worry about.
Right.
Does it function in direct relationship to what you're doing at that spot? So now we get into a whole separate thing called point of use. And that's what cabinetry is about. And point of use, by the way, is something that the architect and the average kitchen designer still don't understand.
Well, explain it, because I'm not sure I understand it by its definition, Don. Point of use, what does that mean?
Point of use means very simply that everything that you need should be right where you're using it. So let's take just people who say to them, oh, I'd love a built-in pantry. And so the architect puts in a built-in pantry about 15 feet away from the kitchen, and it's glorious. It's got everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one problem. The architect did not supply the roller skates to go back and forth to that pantry.
Right.
Okay, so now we're dealing with frequency. That's a word that's rarely used. And we're dealing with compression and expansion of space. How do I get that space to work for one person? Or if you have a dining room that sits 12, how do I get it to work for 12 as comfortably as for the one person that I'm going to also cook? So that first thing, when that comes in, then you have to say to yourself, okay, where am I going to put these things? Well, I want to put my pantries near where I use them. So for an example, if I'm cooking on a cooktop or a range, I want that pantry or some sort of pantry device no more than a couple feet away from me. I don't want to walk 10, 12 feet. Now, the moment I do that and I put all of the things that I use on a basics, like tomato sauces, canned soups, all of those things that are staples, then I've created what is called point of use.
Got it. All right. We're talking to Don Silvers, everybody. He's the author of the book Kitchen Design with Cooking in Mind. Now, Don, you brought up an interesting point when you were making that answer about expansion. You know, if you've got one cook versus eight cooks in the kitchen. We've all just gone through Thanksgiving where you have a lot of family members over. Everybody's in the kitchen trying to help, and the operative word there is trying. Tell it to us a little bit more about expansion, particularly around the holiday times, because we're going into the holidays as well. What does expansion mean? How do you make a kitchen that's friendly for one cook as well as maybe six or seven other cooks?
Okay, this is a language that is not in the kitchen industry, all right? So you won't hear it from anybody else. But kitchens must be able to compress to cook for one, and you relate the size of your kitchen to the size of your dining room. Does the dining room sit 4? Does it sit 8? Does it sit 12? Does it sit 20? I've experienced all of these kinds of dining rooms. Now, I will build a very different kitchen if the dining room sits 4 as to if the dining room sat 12. And I will use very different appliances. Because the criteria of what you do in a kitchen and the size of it, what we put in it, has to do with the volume. How much volume has to come out of that kitchen.
All right.
Okay? And we don't design for the daily, let's say, family of 4. We design for the maximum of that dining room. Otherwise, why have it? You have a dining room that sits 20, and the client says to me, well, we only ever, never have more than 10 plus us is 12, then I'd say, let's cut the dining room in half and make a library out of the other half. In other words, there's a balance between the kitchen and the dining room. Once you create that balance, you then start and you split those two work loads that I told you about, right? Clean up and prep.
Right.
And once you do that, you find that you have your counter. For an example, in mine, I have a counter with and it's only 12 and a half feet, but I was able to squeeze in not an island, but like an island, but it's closed rather than being able to walk through it. It's a peninsula.
A peninsula. I like that.
And I have eight consecutive feet of counter space. Well, 8 feet gives me 4 people to be able to work on that on one side and another 4 people to work on the other side. In the meantime, on cleanup, I have 3 feet on one side and 9 feet on the other side. No, I'm sorry, 7 feet on the other side. So I can put another 3 people over there, and another one on the other side is 4 people. So it has to do with understanding how kitchens work and then creating the space so that it's open enough that you can have multiple people working in it. I don't like to say that 7 cooks or 8 cooks, 8 people who may be helping and prepping. Generally, you only have 1 or 2 cooks in the kitchen.
Point well taken. We're talking to Don Silvers. Clearly, he knows about kitchens and kitchen design. He's the author of the book, Kitchen Design with Cooking in Mind. Don, if people are listening to the sound of your voice, they like what you have to say, maybe they want to learn a little bit more, where would you direct them to go?
They can call me at 1-800-934-4761. My webpage is donsilvers.com. And if they want to email me, they can get me through don@donsilvers.com.
don@donsilvers.com. Don, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the line.
Bill, thank you so much. And have a great holiday.
And you too as well.